myriads of angels, and he could have delivered himself. But he didn't try to defend himself. He didn't put up a fight. And from the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As I pointed out this morning, having been here for 30 years, you can't keep preaching the same message. Now, you probably think I do, but so help me, I do try to preach expositorily through books. And the Bible itself repeats itself quite frequently, but I do try to learn from things. I've learned a lot about myself, and I've learned a lot about you all, and I've learned a lot about the Lord himself. And there's some things that I think are very important in the Bible for us to understand. Once we get saved, what is it that God wants us to do? Well, it's almost mission impossible. He wants us to manifest his personality to the world. Brothers and sisters, that's impossible. None of us could ever be as loving, kind, as patient, as gentle as Christ. So forgive me if I give the impression that I think it's possible. It's not. But it is possible to make the effort. You know, Christ got squeezed from 16 different directions. Can you imagine being the living Son of God and knowing it? And knowing that he had all the fullness of the Godhead bodily inside him. Knowing who he was, knowing the power he had, and putting up with all he put up with, and never losing his temper. The only two times in his life he ever came to what people might say was losing his temper, but he didn't. It was righteous indignation. When he went into his father's house, the temple, and they were selling old sick sheep, overcharging the people for them, cheating the people when they transformed their regular money into shekel money for the temple. The priest was getting a kickback out of it. Jesus couldn't take it. And he had righteous indignation. He made a scourge, a whip, and he drove them out of the temple. He did it twice, when he began his earthly ministry and when he ended it. And Israel hadn't changed one whit. Made my father's house a house of merchandise. And my father's house is to be a house of prayer. Jesus was squeezed in every way. We don't know what temptation is. We don't know what squeezing is. We don't understand it. We have hard times. We have problems. Sometimes our children get sick. Sometimes we get concerned. Sometimes we have fears. We have anxieties. And we have all those things. We're very, very human. And we come apart at the seams. So when we get squeezed, it's quite a different reaction from the reaction that Jesus had. He was tempted 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness. The devil tempted him in every way that he could. And throughout his ministry, the devil was always there. He was always testing him. He was always trying to get him to do things that would be displeasing to his heavenly Father. The devil did everything within his power to cause Christ to sin. And finally, in the end, after having lived a perfect, sinless life, and putting up with that bunch of nincompoops just like you and I that followed him around for 3 years, he tried to teach them, and they were as hard-headed as we are. And finally, he had to go to a cross and die for all of us. And then he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So let me tell you why God saved me, and I'll tell you why he saved you. And it's true. "For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And here's why he saved us. "For we are his workmanship." God is a spirit. His workmanship is spiritual. "For we are his workmanship, and it's a new birth, created in Christ Jesus." The moment you repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ, he put you in Christ, and he put Christ in you. And that's been a lot of problem in your life. The resistance and the fighting you put up against Christ, and the resistance and fighting I put up against him. But don't worry, he's not going to run off and leave you, because he didn't run off and leave me. And he won't ever run off and leave anybody once they put their faith in him. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." When you get squeezed, what comes out of you? Well, you take a great big old citrus fruit. You can make it orange, and you can make it grapefruit, whatever you want to make it. You squeeze it. If it's a lemon, and sour, and you squeeze it, all your sourness, all your bitterness comes rolling out. Unless you let the sweetness in you come out, like it's in an orange. You squeeze an orange, and the sweetness comes out of it. It tastes good. We're squeezed every day. Every day of our lives as children of God, we're squeezed. And what comes out of us, the people in this community see every day. They see in me. When I came here, I was a hot-headed, arrogant, I want to say SOB, but I won't. I was just everything a man shouldn't be. And I had such a high opinion of myself, I don't know why God ever called me to preach. You know, in 30 years of having to preach all this to you, you squeeze me now, I won't bite you back. I'll try to just love you. Had you tried to squeeze me when I first came up here, I'd give you a fist fight. You say, well, I'd have beat the devil out of you. See, when you get squeezed, just think of what comes out of you. Well, I've changed. Now when you squeeze me, if you squeeze me hard enough, I'll swing at you. But you got to squeeze me pretty hard. Because God's made some changes in the way I think, the way I feel, and my definition of what a real man is. It's a whole lot harder to control your temper if you have love for other people and you want the best for them. It was my mother's love for me that changed the things in my life. It was her love for me that made me feel bad inside when I didn't do the things she wanted and hurted her, and I hurt her. And it's the goodness in other people that have really changed me more than anything else. You can change people with love. You can beat them half to death, and you can make them into an old cow dog, or you can make them mean as a garden snake. But in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, well, let's go back to the fourth chapter. These are some things that I think we ought to really think about. And I've preached this before. This may seem like a rerun, but I want to put it in a little different perspective. I want to put it in the perspective of a lone, single, solitary lamb hanging on a cross with all the power in heaven and earth, forgiving those who hated him, despised him, persecuted him, ridiculed him, literally beat him to death almost, then drove nails through his hands and feet. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Could I have done that? Not in a million years. Could I have lived a sinless life? Not in a jillion years. But he did it, and he did it for me, and he set the example. The Bible says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And the more you learn about him, the better you're able to understand what love for people really is and what a change and transformation in your way of thinking is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, down in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Lost people do not have the Spirit of God. They don't understand the Spirit of God. They've never tasted Jesus Christ. They've never had the joy of knowing that they have an eternal home in heaven and that they have a Savior who loves them and who continually watches over them. They've never known what you've known. They've never experienced what you've known. Because Satan is the god of this world, and he blinds the minds of men and women. There's only one real way their minds and hearts can be opened up, and that's what God uses me for, and that's what God uses you for. Verse 4. In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That doesn't mean, brother, I'm going to tell you how it is. Repent! Repent! And put your faith in Christ. No, it's not talking that kind of a gospel. It's talking about a life. It's talking about people seeing you. It's talking about people watching you. People observing your actions, the way you react to things. What comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your actions? What comes out of your personality when you get squeezed? When Jesus got squeezed, what came out of Jesus was God. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There was no bitterness in him. He didn't rant and rave against Pontius Pilate or against Herod or against the high priest or against the people that were ridiculing him and hating him. The more they squeezed him, the more he loved him. Well, we can't be like that, but we can make the effort And the more you get to know Christ in a church that preaches and teaches the truth, the more you want to have some good things squeezed out of your life. And when you're under pressure, when you have tension, when things don't go right, when you get squeezed, God doesn't want to see you lose your temper. He doesn't want to see you yell at people. He doesn't want them to show your backside to them. He doesn't want to let them see what you're really like in the flesh. He wants them to see what he's like. And you're what he's got, and I'm what he's got. We're all what he's got to show people what we're like. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Took me a long time to understand what God wanted in his churches. He wanted things to be done for his sake. When people come to a church nowadays, they say, "What do you have to offer to my children?" Let me tell you what we have to offer. Jesus. We'll teach them everything we possibly can about Jesus. We'll take them back in class, and our teachers will show them the Jesus, what he was like, how he loved little children. They'll tell them about Jesus. They'll teach them about Jesus. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. When you can get back there and teach a bunch of juniors or primaries, and they're about to drive you out of your skull, and you can go ahead and you're doing it for Jesus' sake, believe it or not, you'll learn to enjoy it. And you think they're not listening, but you'll be surprised. And you'll be amazed what God can do with what you consider to be a class where you didn't accomplish much. But if you did it for Jesus' sake, you're going to keep doing it. You won't quit. If you're doing it out of a sense of duty or responsibility, or people will think badly of you because you didn't do it, you're just going to treat it like a drudgery. It's going to become a burden and albatross around your shoulders. But what comes out of you is Jesus. Your kids love you, don't they, Donna? I watch them continually. They love you, surely. Every one of you that teaches, they love you. They care for you. They love June. And what do they love about you? They see kindness. They see patience. They see mercy. They see the personality of Jesus Christ. They see that when they act up and you don't kill them, that you must love them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what it's about. When God squeezes people, he doesn't squeeze them. He lets the devil squeeze them. And the harder the devil squeezes them, the more Jesus is supposed to come out of them. And the more Jesus comes out of them, the more the purposes of the devil are thwarted. He's the God of this world. He's blinded the minds of them which believe not. But if they see Christ in you, you are the light of the world. And if they see Jesus' personality in you, they will respond to it. And that's what God uses to lead people to Christ, is them seeing him in you. But God, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. We have Jesus Christ in our hearts. At some point and some time in your life, there was a light that shined inside you. You saw yourself as a sinner. You knew there was a hell. And you, in desperation, went to Jesus and asked him to save you. His light shined in your heart. Now, you may have fought against the light a large part of your life. It's always been there. And in time of trouble, you've always run to it, haven't you? Because you knew it was there. Why did you run to it? Because down deep inside where you live, you knew he loved you. You knew he cared. And you ran to it. The biggest mistake that I made in my life was to run away from Jesus until I was 38. Finally, at age 38, I quit running. When I started coming to him, and I started getting to know him, I've never known anybody like him in my life. The scriptures have taught me a lot about him. Now notice verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I can remember a lot of my teachers. I probably gave them a hard time. But I saw something about them that was different. And I remember them now. Their minds, my mind floods back to it. I may forget everything else, but I can remember things way back. And I saw something in them that was wonderful. There was no doubt in my mind that they loved me. Oh, back then they spanked you in Sunday school. But I never questioned their love because I needed to be spanked. I was just thankful they didn't spank me as much as they should have. And I knew they loved me, or they never would have spanked me. And they wouldn't have taught me, and they wouldn't have put up with the patience and everything that I did. I think sometimes we think we do very little in the Lord's service. And if we ever get to thinking we do a lot, we're in serious trouble. But I think sometimes that little, God looks upon us a lot. Because we're not capable of doing a whole lot. The only one that can do all things is God. Well, Jesus hung on that cross and he forgave them. He got squeezed. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Leroy, you don't know how much you're pleasing your daughter. She never knew Daddy could get up and get in front of those people over there at the nursing home and sing. It's you're a real blessing to her. And it's wonderful. And you don't know what a blessing it is to Kenneth and I to see you come over there. And you don't know what it means to those old people. It means a lot to them. They can see that we can. And here's a man that's coming over here, and he's not a preacher. And he's coming over there, and he's getting up with us, and he's singing us with us. He's a part of the Outcast of Poker Flat Choir. They see Doc coming over there. Doc's in bad shape. He's in bad shape. And he drags that old body over there and sits with those old people. You think that doesn't mean something to them? Listen, when you see people that you believe love you, that don't have to be there, they see Jesus in you. And they see that you're not phony. Not as phony as a $3 bill, that you're real, you're genuine. That means an awful lot to people. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, here's what I'm talking about on what God wants from us when we get squeezed. Nobody ever got squeezed like Jesus. Nobody. Nobody ever got tested like Jesus. Nobody ever had as much pressure put on them as a human being as Jesus. Now here's what he says he wants you and I to do. This was written to the church at Corinth. Here's what he wants church members to do. We are troubled on every side. We are troubled on every side. I remember the trouble. I remember yours. I remember when your children were sick. I remember when you had problems. You remember when I had problems. We got squeezed. There were trouble on every side. But not distressed. When we can be troubled on every side, and we can be squeezed, but we don't throw up our hands and blame God, and we don't just forsake everything, say, what's the use? When we get squeezed, we run to God. He gets us through it, and we're troubled. But we don't come apart the seams and start blaming God. And people in the community see it. And they say, God got them through it. And God gets the glory from it. Bitterness doesn't come out. Hatred. blaming other people. When you get squeezed, don't be distressed. Don't blame everybody else. Just run to the Lord, and He'll see you through it. We are perplexed. I remember when you were perplexed. I remember. Some of you I've known a long time. I've seen you in great perplexity. You've seen me in perplexity. We got squeezed. Well, what came out? We are perplexed, but not in despair. We ran to Jesus, didn't we? We hurt. We agonized. We thought it would never pass. But it passed, didn't it? And God got us through it. And who did we give the credit to? God. And why are we still here? And not in despair. Persecuted. We've all been persecuted. I never will forget. The former postmaster down here got mad about something that one of the teachers had taught in Sunday school class about sin, comparing a black spot to sin. This was years ago. You may not even remember it. And the postmaster back then was Joe. I can't remember his last name. And he'd been postmaster for a long time. I'd known him for some time. He never had wore glasses in his whole life, but I knew it. He'd come up here mad as a wet hen and was going to whip me. Well, I could have wiped him out with one hand. You say, what'd you do? Nothing. Why? I knew he wasn't going to do anything. He was wearing glasses. He never wore glasses in his life, but I knew. And he didn't think I'd hit a man wearing glasses. So we've all been persecuted, and you're going to be persecuted for what you believe, but not forsaken. God's always with us no matter what we do. Cast down but not destroyed. I don't know how many times, many of you here, I've seen you so depressed and so down, and you've seen me the same way, that we were lower than a snake. Just plumb old, absolutely put down, cast down, knocked out, but not destroyed. We survived. Why did we survive? God. I'm going to close with this next verse. And it's the point of everything I've said. Well, what is all this that I've been talking about, having Jesus Christ inside us and being troubled but not distressed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed? Here's what it is. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Every time that you survived, Jesus Christ fested to a lost and dying world. If you'd given up, stopped coming to church, blamed God, and went back to the world and said, I've had enough of that, you never would have been worth a plug nickel to God. But you're here, and you haven't given up. That's what counts with God, your faith and your confidence in Him. God's gotten you through an awful lot. He's gotten me through an awful lot. We've got a situation coming up in this world that we're going to have to go through a lot more. But you know what? God's gotten us through everything so far. And I'm convinced He can get us through everything that lies ahead. I just thank God for that. Brother Kenneth Eubanks, would you dismiss us?